One of the most outstanding characters in the Old Testament is a young man by the name of Joseph. Joseph, of course, was despised by his brothers because he, of course, was a favorite of their father and also because of his dreams. One day, Joseph's brothers took their flocks to Shechem to graze them, and a few days later, Jacob called for Joseph to go and to check on his brothers. And, of course, Joseph followed his father's instructions, and he went out to find him. While he was yet a ways off, his brothers saw him, and they said, "Here comes that dreamer. Let us kill him, and then let us see what will become of his dreams." Well, I believe that God's people today must have a vision or purpose. I believe, of course, that they must have some dreams or goals is what I'm talking about. And I ask you the question tonight, do you have any goals? I'm sure that you do, and of course I have some. And tonight, for just a few minutes, I want to talk about what will become of our dreams. First of all, what will become of our dreams for the church? I'm sure that each and every one of us here has dreams of seeing the church grow and to being saved, and to also make sure that the church grows and remains focused on the mission of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As we study the New Testament, there are no doubt things that we must make sure that we are doing. It is more important that each time we always preach the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When the early Christians, of course, were going about teaching the gospel, they, of course, were ridiculed, but they went on and they continued to do those things that they should be doing. Of course, if the church today is to be successful, we must discover and we must focus on their mission. Even before Jesus came to this world, we read in Matthew 1, verse 21, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Jesus himself said, "I came not to call the righteous, but the sinner to repentance," Luke 5, verse 23. He came to save an otherwise lost and hopeless people. And the words of our resurrected Savior are a mission statement. He said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." Because of the example of Jesus, we see that those early Christians, they were consumed with a purpose and they displayed a great passion in every way to tell the world that it needed a Savior like Jesus Christ. Their goal, of course, was for the church to be successful in every way. Well, every member of the body of Christ should experience that same urgency to seek and save the lost as Christ and the Apostle Paul did. And how could followers of Jesus Christ, how could we as followers of Jesus Christ not have a desire to bring salvation to other people? Our recognition of the condition of the lost and our concern for them and our response to what Jesus has done for us should motivate each and every one of us to seek and to save the lost. I ask you tonight, are you concerned about the local congregation of which you are a member? Are you working to build it up? Are you concerned that there will be people there to carry on the work? You know, it is unfortunate that many show no concern for their local congregation. And I believe in doing so, they show no concern for the mission of Jesus Christ. Some schedule their vacations when their home congregation is having a meeting. Weekend getaways come up and they don't care if there'll be anyone there to carry on the work. They're out of there. Well, I ask you the question, do other things, do personal desires, do they take preeminent place in your life, while God and his kingdom are forced into a secondary place? Jesus commanded his people to make disciples of all nations. And this is the mission of Christianity today, yesterday, and forever. And we must not let our dreams for the church be dashed by worldliness, by materialism, by selfishness, by innovation, by unsound false doctrine, or anything else. Next of all, I ask you the question, what will become of our dreams for our children? Most parents all have dreams for their children. Some, of course, dream that their sons will grow up to be a famous athlete, a doctor, or a lawyer. They dream that their daughters will grow up to have a successful marriage and a loving home life. But the most important thing, the most important dream that we should have for our children is for them to become successful Christian men and women. And that dream can be fulfilled by instilling the truth into the heart of our children. Now, how is this done? This is done by constant teaching and faithfulness in our own lives. We, of course, know that there are many congregations hurting today, or who no longer exist because some parents fail to communicate the importance of being a Christian to their children. Parents ought to give the highest priority to being what God would have them be and bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Many parents need to teach their children that they may not be able to attend every music camp or sports camp or academic camp that comes along because they must attend the worship assembly. And I thank God that there are some Christian parents today who will tell their children no to these things. Modern entertainment has influenced our young. We know that the young are impressionable. They are impacted by what they see and what they hear. And parents need to be very careful what they allow their children to watch, what they allow them to listen to, and what type of games they let them play. Hollywood's values are not our values. Some young people look for exciting and appealing in worship. And the rightness and wrongness of approach to worship many times is what turns you on rather than what God's word has authorized. In many cases, more emphasis is being placed on feelings than on knowledge. And we must teach our children that the source of goodness, obedience, and godly living is, of course, revealed to us by God in His Word. Knowledge of God's Word will show the importance of the church and also of doctrinal purity to our children. We cannot afford to lose our children. There are enormous potentials in young people. And young people, I want you to listen to me tonight. I want to tell you something. The church needs you. The church needs your fire. It needs your zeal. And we need you in the future. But we don't just need you in the future. We need you now. We need you right now so that you'll be able to one day sustain the things that have been held dear and close to the heart of so many of us. Being a parent is a serious business. Christian parents must realize that their jobs is extremely important. And you cannot, of course, guarantee that your children become Christians, but you can do everything. You can do everything in your power to show them that Jesus is worth following in every way. And there is no higher calling. There is no higher calling in this world than ensuring that your children have the opportunity to hear and to know the good message of Jesus Christ. What will become of our dreams for our children? We must strive to be the right example so that our dreams will bring them or make them successful men and women. And we must make sure that those dreams are not shattered. Well, last of all, finally, what will become of our dreams for ourselves? Do you have a dream or do you have a vision? Do you have a plan of being the best Christian that you possibly can? Our daily living should be identified with Christ. When we live as Christians, we, of course, identify us with Christ. And everyone that names the name of Christ should depart from iniquity. The Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, verse 19, "Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." We belong to Jesus Christ. He is our Savior. He is our Lord. And we must not be ashamed to be identified with Him in any way. We must not be ashamed to be identified with our brethren. We could dishonor the name of Christ. Most parents try to teach their children the importance of honoring the family name. And in just a few minutes, just a few seconds, someone can disgrace a name that others have worked hard to build up. And as Christians, we must be very careful where we go, careful in what we say, careful in how we act. And we should avoid questionable places. When we decide to wear the name of Christian, we are identified with Christ, and we must not dishonor our family name. What about your dreams for being the best Christian that you possibly can? Will you realize them, or will they be unfulfilled? Jehoshaphat was a king in Judah, and he was a pretty good one. And that's really saying something, because there were not many good kings at all. However, there is an episode found in his life in 1 Kings 22, verse 48, which is not a highlight of his reign. And it reflects most likely a great economic disaster for Judah. In fact, it was probably a terrible embarrassment. It was something that could stain a politician's legacy. Listen now to what verse 48 says, and pay attention. It says, Jehoshaphat made ships of Tarshish to go to Ophir for gold, but they went not, because the ships were broken at Ezion-Geber. Now earlier, Solomon had followed this trade policy, apparently with great success, as we see in 1 Kings 9, verses 26 through 28. However, now we see Jehoshaphat. We see his policies go up in flames. We see his dreams are dashed in every way. But why were those ships stuck in a port? Why were his dreams dashed? Well, 2 Chronicles 20, verse 37 tells us this. It says that Jehoshaphat made an alliance with a wrong person, and it led to terrible disaster that reflected poorly on this king. And oh, what a lesson that is. What a lesson that is for us today. Those principles are still true today. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. Jehoshaphat, he paid a high price for breaking that biblical principle. And so do we. How many a young man or young woman had every intention of doing great things in the kingdom, but saw those dreams dashed, saw those dreams go away when they got married, when they married the wrong person, or they got involved with the wrong crowd? How many businessmen got involved with the wrong people and now have little, if any, time for the kingdom? Be careful where you go. Be careful who you go in any partnership with. They do and will influence you according to what is in your heart, and they can destroy your dreams. I think there's a spiritual lesson for us here. Dreams are great, plans are necessary, but we need to keep in mind that ships are made for the sea and not for the harbor. And the longer our hopes and our dreams sit, the more likely they are to be wrecked. And remember that we serve a God who can do much more than we even imagine. So the question is, how long should we wait? Dreams will not come true for those who fail to implement their desires into actions. God has always been pleased with an energetic people who realize that they are his workmanship, created unto good deeds in Christ Jesus. Do you have a dream for the church? Do you have a dream for your children? Do you have a dream for yourself? We must commit ourselves to work toward that realization of those dreams. And the question is, will those dreams come to fruition, or will they lie broken and shattered and unfulfilled?